Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Text upon which we base the meditation today is recording the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, beginning at the first verse. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commandments that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today is Rally Day, a day that we emphasize Christian education. We're beginning another school year. Sunday school starts today. Confirmation classes begin. Bible class begins. And so we are getting started in, once again, teaching the Word of God to one another. Christian education is a very basic part of our program and of our services that we have here at Redeemer Lutheran Church. And Jesus and God here tells us through Moses what we are to do. He says, first of all, we are to hear, we are to listen, take to heart, believe that God, the God that we worship, is one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God, one Lord, one God. The people of Israel that Moses is speaking to, these passages, were to realize right off that the God that they worship is one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God. They were not to get the idea that the people had around them in the land of Canaan, the promised land. They worshiped all sorts of gods and idols that they had created with their own mind and from their own imagination. And they didn't think that one God was better than the other God. They worshiped each as they felt they wanted to, and as a result, they were all lost because none of them worshiped the true God. But as Moses tells the people, there is but one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. And that's the first need in Christian education, is that we teach our children and one another to worship the true God, worship him. We're not to have idols of our own creation or private gods, but instead we're to worship the God, the living God, the God of our salvation. We're to love him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Our whole being, our whole life is to center and reflect our love for God in all that we say and do. And as you can realize, that's not a simple thing to do. To love God in that way is difficult because in our world, there's all sorts of things and sin and evil around us that try to drive us and bring us and draw us away from worshiping the true God. And the result is that many times we don't truly reflect our love of God in our day-to-day life. We don't always center our life around God and the worship of God. And so our life is to be one of constant awareness of our Savior Jesus Christ, constant awareness of our respect and our devotion to God. We're to love, respect, honor God. And that's to show up in our everyday life, in our speech, in how we live our life, and how we do. That's what we are to teach. That's what we are strive to learn. And until each and every one of us can totally practice that, there's more teaching to be done. We never grow too old to learn. We never run out of things that we need to learn to be able to better apply the Word of God to our life. And so we need to study that Word. Study in our homes privately, but we also need to study it as groups, as we get together with groups of individuals in Bible class, Sunday school, confirmation classes, and various other Bible studies. We need to all sort of have that discipline of being part of a group that studies the Word of God together, because then we'll get it done. But if we're not part of a group, we often are missing that discipline, and we can find it easy to skip today or tomorrow the study of God's Word, and as a result, we get into a pattern of neglecting that Word of God. And so God would encourage us to get involved in the formal study of His Word with a group, get involved in Bible class, get involved with the various organizations, the Elder Memel and others, where we can study the Word of God. And if there's a special thing that you'd like to study and it's not being offered, talk to your pastor. And maybe a class can be formed that can study that particular thing and so help you to grow in the Word of God. And then we are to teach that Word of God. It's to be in our heart and soul. And where our heart and soul is, God says there our body will be as well. And since our life and how we live it shows where our faith is and where our love of God is and who gets in the first place in our life, we need to demonstrate day by day in our life that we are God's people, that we love Him, that we worship Him. So we live that Christian faith. And that gets difficult to live in our world, to demonstrate that faith, as Moses says. Let it be before you at all times. Talk about it when you're on the road and other things. And so whether we like it or not, each of us is a teacher. Each one of us is teaching day by day. We're teaching our faith to our children, to our grandchildren. We're teaching our faith to those around us. We teach it by our example. We teach it by what we do. We teach it by what we say, how we live. And so are we teaching that Word of God in a way that upbuilds God, in a way that points others to God? Or are we teaching it with our life and things that sort of demonstrates that we really are not connected to God and that God is not really the first in our life? So each parent, each one of us, is a teacher. And it always amazes me as we look at our church and we think about it. We have Sunday school. And if we're lucky, each child, if they attend regularly and faithfully, will get about 30 hours of instruction in the course of a year in Sunday school. And then in confirmation class, we add another 30 hours. And isn't it amazing how much knowledge we are able to instill in those few hours? But really, that's just teaching some of the facts of the scriptures and the facts of what God is doing. The real teaching that really makes the difference in the lives of people is the teaching that is done in the home, the example that is set by the parents, the example that they see around them. That's where the real teaching of faith is done and is caught. As someone says, faith is more caught than taught, and that's true. And if we're going to be good teachers, we need to turn off the TV, we need to turn off all the electronic devices at times, and talk to our children. Talk to them. Talk to them about God and how God affects us in our family. Talk to them in our daily prayers and devotions. Talk to them about how God wants us to act and how God wants us to talk as we work with them. Talk to our children about God as we discuss their children's homework, as we help them with their homework and their school activities. We are talking to our children and teach them as we play games with our children and grandchildren, showing them love, showing God's love, showing them how to act in a faithful way one with another in our world. And as our text says, do that when you walk along the road. Today we say, instead of walking along the road, do it when you're driving in your car. Turn off the radio. And in your car, discuss the Sunday school lesson for today. Sing a hymn. Sing some of the Christmas carols at Christmas time. Use that time in your car as a time to teach and to share the Word of God with our children and with others around us so that they can see your faith and your love of God. Spend time there to do that. As you're going down the road, you can point out the crops that you see growing in the farmers' fields, and you can explain how God is blessing us and giving us our food through those crops. If you see a rainbow, you can explain how God has promised never to send a worldwide flood to us once again, as he promised to Noah. And so that's a sign of God's love for us there. As the children get older, you can instruct them how to apply the truths of the Bible to their everyday life. Bible stories. You can point out how jealousy and prejudice were the result of what caused problems between King Saul and David. Then you can point out the effects of seeking power and prestige that led to the downfall of Absalom, David's son. You can point out the effects of loving other people when you look at David and Uriah. And so one thing after the other, the Bible studies can be applied to your life. And the more we know those Bible studies, the more we can talk about them when we ride in the cars and when we sit around the dinner table, so that we can actually demonstrate our love for God. Our love for God in what we say and do. That's what teaching the Word of God is. And so all of us are teachers. We may not be classroom teachers. We may not be ones who are willing to lead a Bible study. But all of us are teaching. Teaching by our actions. Teaching by what we do and say. And God wants us to do that so that we can have a deep love of God. So that we can freely talk about God's love to anyone that we meet. To anyone that we talk to on the street. Share the faith of God with them. That's the whole aim of Christian education, to enable us to live as Christians day by day. The aim is that we can love our Lord God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. And that love shows up in our lives as we teach and share one with another. And Moses goes on and he warns the people. He says, now you're going across the River Jordan, you're going into the Promised Land. Be careful that you do not forget God's law there. When you go and live in good homes, when you are prosperous and have wonderful crops, don't let your riches separate you from God. In the wilderness, those 40 years, they were poor. They depended upon God for manna from heaven day after day and the quail for their food. They were totally dependent on God. It was easy to pray to God and to thank God. When you're poor and when you're totally dependent on God and God has given it to you each day as he did in the wilderness. But God says now when you cross the river and you have to work once again, but God prospers you through your work and through your labor and through your industry and you grow rich and wealthy, don't forget that God is the one who has blessed you. Do not fall away from God at those times. And that's a danger we face in our country today. Many of us are rich or prosperous in many different ways, and God has blessed us. Let's not take that blessing as something that we've earned and we deserve, but instead, let us remember that it is a gift that God has given to us to use as his people. And we can use that as we share that word of God with our children, as we teach our children that God has blessed us and that God wants to bless all of us, that we need to study his word, each one of us, to be a student as well as a teacher. And so may God grant on this rally day that we will rally around the word of God and once again resolve to study that word and to learn that word so that we may share it and live it day by day. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds.